This recording is for CN2513 Network Administration. Chapter 3, Working with the Network File System. If you'd like to follow along with me, open up your PowerPoint slides in WebCT, and you'll be able to follow the slides in the presentation as I talk about the chapter. The objectives for this chapter are, first, identify network file service components, to set up a network file system by planning the volume and directory structure and using Remote Manager to create file system components. We're going to learn to access volumes by using NFAP and web-based network clients. Keep in mind as we go through this chapter that what we're talking about here is a centralized file system, file storage system. Kind of get an image in your mind of a very large organization, maybe with hundreds or even thousands of users, needing to store their data in a centralized location so it's accessible not only by the user that stores it, but other users, and as well as accessible from many different locations. This helps streamline the management of data. It also makes it a lot easier to handle things like centralized backup systems. How do you handle the transfer of data when one employee leaves the organization, or when different employees change roles, or when you have a work group working together on the same project that need to access the same data? So in this chapter, we're going to look at actually setting up the structure on the file system so that we can store data in a way that allows us to give access to that data to the users that need access, but not giving access to users that don't need access. By benefits of putting the information on network, it gives us a centralized management of data and backups. It helps us to improve security. It improves reliability and fault tolerance because we can build in redundant file systems and backup systems and other systems that help us improve that reliability. Also, the hardware systems that are shared by a centralized file system are going to be more reliable hardware systems. We're going to have things like RAID or other utilities built into them that will make our file system more reliable than you might have on the standard PC. It will also allow us to share that data storage among many users and also access the data from many different locations. We're going to learn about Novell Storage Services, NSS. That's the current system that's deployed on all network servers. It allows us to use various different features for managing our file system. Page 4 on your slides begin to talk about the file system components. The first basic component of the file system is the actual physical hard drive system itself. Now keep in mind that there are various different types of hardware systems for file systems that are not covered in this particular course. What we're talking about is the software and the way we manage those systems. So when you see in figure 3-1 a disk partition, that may actually be just one hard drive, or it may actually be a RAID system that has many, many hard drives installed into it, or it might be a standalone storage device that stores data. But as far as network is concerned, it is looked at as one file system. So from that, we will create a file system partition or a disk partition. And then from that, we will create a storage pool and a volume. So first, we'll divide the disk drive into partitions. We will then put partitions into what's called a storage pool. The advantage of that is a storage pool could contain data from many, many, many different hard drives and many, many different partitions. And then we will define volumes from those storage pools, the volumes being the first level that the user will see. Page 6 shows you what the screen looks like in Remote Manager that allows us to manage the partitions, the pools, and the volumes. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to create a partition. When you go into Remote Manager, it will show you amount of file space that's available. Again, it's the software rendition of the amount of file space that's available. We don't really know what the physical hard drive infrastructure is from this point. It could be a RAID system, or it could be a simple single drive, or it could be a network storage system. Either way, network looks at it as one pool of available free space. We will then partition that space. And as you can see on page 8, you can see how you could have actual one drive or one drive system that would have a boot partition, network partitions, and free space. That space can be allocated to a pool, and then those pools allocated to volumes. Okay, I'm going to jump forward to slide 13, which talks about storage pools. Storage pools are created from disk partitions, and they can be made larger by adding additional disk partitions or adding additional free space to them. We can also mirror or duplex them, which again will provide fault tolerance or redundancy in our system that provides additional security in the event we have some data corruption. Mirroring and duplexing simply means either that we'll have a second set where for that pool is totally duplicated either on the same drive system or on a separate drive system. Once we've created partitions, and then during the installation process, you already saw this occur, that you created a partition, you created a storage pool called sys, and you created a volume called sys. It was kind of all automatic, but that is the required volume for every NetWare server. You must have a sys pool. You must have a sys volume. From there, we can decide what additional volumes we want to create, such as a data volume or a corp volume, and you can kind of see a graphical representation of that on page 14, where you have various hard drive setups, drives that put data into a pool, and then that pool can be split up into different volumes. The next few slides just give you some details of pools and some other examples, and I'll just let you browse through those at your own pace. But I'm going to skip forward to slide 22 that talks about the volume. The volume is the basic storage unit in the network file system. It gives users access to network directory and files. Network 6.5 supports both traditional and NSS volumes. Traditional volumes were much more limited in their capabilities. NSS volumes have a lot more capabilities. NSS volumes is what you want to use now if you're creating new file system space. The only time you want to work with traditional volumes is if for some reason you need some type of backward compatibility towards to an earlier technology that used only traditional volumes. If you're creating new and you're implementing new services and systems, you want to create NSS volumes. They mount and manage a lot quicker. They have a lot better speed. They have a lot more better utilities available to them and are the better way to go. When you create a volume, you're going to give it a name, and that's the first name that you're going to see in NetWare as far as referencing that volume. Every volume has a physical name and an eDirectory name. Now, we haven't talked about eDirectory yet. We'll look at that in Chapter 4. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind right now, that there's a physical name that you're going to give it when you create it, and when we look at it in eDirectory later and learn how to manage it, we'll see another name there. It will actually be a combination of the server name and the volume name, which will represent what volume that server is housed on. I'm sorry, what server that volume is housed on. Page 24 kind of shows you that, where you have a server called DA1 and a volume called sys, and when we look at it in eDirectory in Chapter 4, we're going to see that the volume is actually called DA_sys. They've combined the server name and the volume name. Page 25 kind of gives you some of the maximums and minimums and the various different features available on volumes. You can see that, for example, in traditional volumes, the maximum volumes you could have were 64. In NSS, you could have 255. And the maximum number of files in a traditional volume was 16 million. In NSS, it's unlimited. The amount of memory required to mount a volume in the traditional volumes was 320 megabytes. In NSS, it's 32 megabytes. So you see that the NSS volumes have a lot more capacity, but they create a lot less overhead on the server. Skipping forward to page 32, talks about some of the attributes we can set. For example, we can designate a volume whether or not we want it to automatically compress or not. And that would be files that aren't used over a particular period of time might be compressed to save drive space. We can set things like user space restrictions and directory quotas, giving a maximum amount a user or a directory can contain. We can salvage files, and we can set the parameters on whether or not a particular volume will allow us to salvage files, or whether they'll be deleted immediately, or whether the data should be shredded when a file's deleted. We have lots of options there. And again, NSS volumes have a lot more options for their to set on them than a traditional volume does. I'm going to kind of the next few pages kind of talk about the features and how the volumes work, as well as some of the utilities available to manage them, such as Remote Manager. I'm going to skip forward and talk a little bit about directories and subdirectories. Once we've created the volumes, we then need to decide how we want to organize the data in our file system. This is kind of like organizing the file cabinet. If you have a business and you have a lot of data, you need to store invoices and customer documents and all kinds of stuff. If you just, every time you get a piece of paper or a piece of document that you need to store, you just open up a file drawer and just throw it in the file drawer, when you need to access that information again, it's going to be a huge job to find try to find it, because you're going to have to go paper by paper by paper looking for it. If, however, you sit down and think logically about how to store that data, in other words, maybe one drawer has invoices, maybe one drawer has statements, maybe another drawer has customer correspondence or customer files, and then when you get ready to go to it, you open, if you're looking for an invoice, you open the drawer for invoices, and then inside the invoices you have file folders that have all of your customers or all of your clients in folders, so their invoices are in their each individual folders, then it's going to be very easy for you to find a particular document or a particular invoice you're looking for. It's the same concept we're looking here in designing the file system. You're thinking of an organizational manner in which you're going to store files and data, so it makes it easy for you to find it when you get ready to retrieve it. In addition, because you're sharing this storage space, you're going to think about how others are going to access it as well, and think about how they may want to share data. And think of this kind of like in line with the file cabinet, but think about the fact that maybe you're going to lock certain drawers of the file cabinet. Maybe there's certain data you don't want everybody to see. So each drawer has a different key, and you give a key to an individual based on what they should be able to see. Now, if you mix the data up, if an individual needs to see information from drawers A, B, and C, you have to give them keys for drawers A, B, and C. Or you need to think about reorganizing things so that one group of individuals has all of their data in drawer A, so they get keys to drawer A. Another group of individuals has all the data they need to see in drawer B, so they get keys to drawer B. Same thing with the network file system. We're going to try to organize our directories and folders so that we can give users the keys to access the data in those directories based on what they need to access. And the keys will be rights to those folders. Now you notice I use the term directory and folder interchangeably. That's because different operating systems use the terms directories and folders interchangeably. So I'm going to use both so you kind of get used to the common language. On page 43 shows some of the default directories or folders that are created when NetWare is installed. All of these will reside on the sys volume. They're created automatically. The files that are installed in there are installed in them automatically, and you can kind of browse to the table and see what they are. I'm going to jump down to page 51 that kind of gives you a directory structure. This is the one that we're going to work with as we work through our hands-on activities. You're actually going to be creating this directory in your assignments in this chapter. And this is designed to work for the organization that the aerospace, Universal Aerospace Organization, that's kind of the case that we'll be following throughout the course of the semester. Page 54 kind of gives you a volume design form where you'd sit down and think of, okay, what do we want to call the volume? What's the maximum capacity? What's the block size we want to use? And the block size is the smallest piece of information that a file can accompany or occupy. Page 57 starts talking about how you might have multiple different clients accessing your shared file system. You might have a Novell client, you might have a Windows client, you might have a Linux client, you might have a Macintosh client, you might have people accessing from a file browser on a wide variety of clients. NetWare can support all of those file types or operating system types in the file system. We're going to look at some exercises in this chapter where we're going to access the file system via just a straight Windows client. We'll also access the file system via a browser, and we'll access the file system via a workstation with a Novell client installed. Page 60 starts talking about actually usernames and passwords. We're going to work with what's called a simple password in this chapter. A simple password is used by file systems such as a Windows file system to log on and access a file system that's emulating a work group computer. Page 62 talks about defining the path, and that the full path to a file includes the server name, the volume name, and the directory name. And you see an example of that at the bottom of page 62. I'll just let you browse through the rest of the slides that talk about the various different file system types, and you'll see some information about that in your textbook too. Just to kind of cover a summary of what you're going to see in this chapter, first of all, you're going to learn about the basic components of the network storage system, partitions, pools, volumes, directories, and files. You're going to see that network creates system directories on the sysvolume. There's a whole list of default directories based on what services and components you've installed. The sysvolume is created automatically during the installation. It is required on every server. It is not, however, recommended that you store any other data on the sysvolume other than what the network operating systems and its various components install. If you're going to store user data or other application data, you want to store that data on another volume. So you do need to create at least one additional volume on every server to store additional data. You want to plan and implement a structure for your network file system that meets your organization's needs. You want to be able to very quickly find data and understand the way you've organized data so you can find it quickly. You also want to look at the way users are going to be accessing data and determine who needs to access what data so that you can set up the proper rights, which we'll look at in a future chapter, so that everyone has access to the data they need, but they don't have access to data they don't need. And we're going to also look at creating volumes and subdirectories using Remote Manager in this chapter. We'll see Console 1 in Chapter 4, but that's another utility that we can use to create volumes and directories. And that kind of concludes the summary of Chapter 3. Good luck, and enjoy your process of learning about network.